Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and The God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. It is written, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about by a napkin, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. It is written, and there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, and borne down with deep sleep, fell out the third story window, and was taken up dead. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the flute players and the crowd making a tumult. And he said, give place, for the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the crowd was put forth, he entered in and took her by the hand. And the damsel arose, and the fame hereof went forth into all that land. The crown that once was on his head now glows like rubies, dark and red, like burnished gold beset by gems, surpassing royal diadems. The hands that once were pierced by nails now holds the scepter that prevails. The feet, once fastened to the tree, are marching on to victory. The wound within his riven side is now a fountain open wide, where cleansing waters freely flow to wash away our guilt and woe. The cross from whence the curse has flown has now become his mighty throne, an emblem, a conquering sign, where grace and glory intertwine. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled The Nine Resurrections of the New Testament. The first resurrection of the New Testament is the son of the widow at Nain. And it came to pass that as he drew nigh to the city of Nain, and his disciples went with him, and a great multitude, when Jesus drew near to the city, there was carried out one that was dead, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. The Lord had compassion on her and said, weep not. Weep not is a strange thing to say to a widow who has lost her only son, her only support. I attended a funeral one time, and a man instructed the grieving widow, don't cry. Laugh, he said. Look, he said, I'm laughing. He leaned over and laughed at the corpse. A week later, he moved in with the widow to console her more. Then I knew why he was laughing. Jesus said, weep not, but he did not say, laugh. Paul later on explained why when he said, we sorrow not as the rest who have no hope. The sorrow of the Christian is different than the sorrow of one whose departed loved one is not a Christian. Without Christ, Paul says, there is no hope. For the Christian, the sorrow is mitigated with great joy, because they know their loved one has gone to be with the Lord. Think of what Stephen said at the time he was stoned. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Think of what Paul told the Corinthian Christians. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Paul also told them, "To live is Christ, but to die is gain. Then again, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is very far better. But to remain is needful for your sakes. What happened at the gate of the city of Nain is only a foretaste of that meeting we will have as we enter in through the gate into the city that John speaks of in Revelation 22. Blessed are they who wash their robes, for they have a right to the tree of life and to enter in through the gates into the city." We might wonder, what did this young man do with his life after this? What great sermons did he preach? What great missionary endeavor did he undertake? Nothing is mentioned except the reason for his resurrection. Jesus gave him to his mother. His ministry was taking care of his mother. Sometimes our ministry in life is the performing of some humble work that the world never sees, but God sees and God knows. The second resurrection of the New Testament is the daughter of Jairus. When Jesus came to the ruler's house, he saw the rulers and the flute players making a tumult. And Jesus said, "Give place. The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." They laughed him to scorn. But Jesus went in and took her by the hand and raised her up, and the fame hereof went forth into all that land. Think of it. They laughed at Jesus. Many a Christian would rather endure 10 lashes on the back than to suffer the indignity of being laughed at and called a Jesus freak. It's all right to be a Christian, but don't let anybody know it. They might snicker. Don't let your worldly friends laugh you out of heaven. Satanic laughter has damned many. But there's also a spiritual lesson to be learned here. Mark tells us, the first command the Lord gave to the parents was, "Give her something to eat." That's good advice for those who are raised up from the waters of baptism. Give them something to eat. Give them each week the bread of life, the Word of God. Give them each Lord's Day, on the Lord's Day, something to eat, namely the Lord's Supper. The Lord shall give us something to eat. We shall eat of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. And now next is Lazarus of Bethany. Now there was a minor problem at the resurrection of Lazarus. Martha said, "We cannot roll away the stone, Lord, from the tomb because my brother has been dead 4 days. He is decayed." Jesus said unto her, "If thou believest, thou shalt see the glory of God." So they took away the stone, and Jesus said in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." It is not right for a person to be raised up from the dead and continue to walk around dressed up like a corpse. I baptized a man one time, and when he came up out of the waters of baptism and he got dressed, he reached into his pocket and said, "Here, I want to give you something." He handed me a fancy cigarette case. He said, "I won't have any more need for this." You see, he was taking off his grave clothes. I'm sorry to say, later, he put the grave clothes back on again. Later on after that, he took off the grave clothes for good. Sometimes people put on the grave clothes and take them off, then put them back on again for special occasions. Loose him and let him go. Next is the wholesale resurrection at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Several miracles took place when Jesus died. The veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. The earth did quake. The rocks were rent, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised up and coming forth from the tombs after the resurrection, entered into the holy city and appeared unto many. Ladies and gentlemen, how many times did you hear a sermon on these great events, especially this resurrection of many saints who made appearances in the holy city after the resurrection of Jesus. I heard one sermon one time by a man who preached 4 hours on that subject. When he finished, I did not know any more than when he started. Perhaps the reason you don't hear or read too much about these great miracles is because they happened in such close proximity to the cross. The cross dwarfs everything else around it. Like a mighty oak tree overshadows the daisies and the weeds underneath. And that is why the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day dwarfs any other event into insignificance. The cross of Jesus Christ towers above every other event in life. And now next is the resurrection of Dorcas. Now there was at Joppa a certain woman named Tabitha, which is by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. She fell sick and died. Since Peter was only a short distance away, they sent for him, and he came. He entered into the upper chamber where the body lay. After hearing of her many good works, Peter put them all forth out of the room and kneeled down and prayed, and then turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And Peter gave her his hand and raised her up. Now just who was this woman? She may not have been very old since she fell sick and died. Of course, she was not an apostle, nor anyone that was prominent in the brotherhood of believers. Just who was she that she was important enough to be raised up from the dead? She was a seamstress. Why raise her up and not raise up Stephen, a more valuable servant of the Lord? Actually, this event shows us the Lord is concerned about the most humble and little known of his sheep, as well as the great ones of the earth. No servant of the Lord is obscure to the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows us all by name. Paul told Timothy, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." We can only imagine what a coat made by Dorcas would be worth today, this seamstress, if it could be found. Oh, I tell you, if someone would tell me, "I like that coat you're wearing. What is the name of the manufacturer?" I might say, "Oh, I don't know. I paid $5 for it in a garage sale. Let me see that coat." They look inside and exclaim, "Holy cow, you've got a Dorcas. I'll give you $1 million for it." "No, thank you. I think I'll just wear it myself." Ladies and gentlemen, the resurrection of Dorcas tells us all of God's people are important to him. And now comes the resurrection of Eutychus, the young man who fell out the third story window and was taken up dead. The resurrection of Eutychus took place in the city of Troas. Troas is the place where they had a Sunday evening church service. They had met for the purpose, we are told, to break bread. They had not assembled to hear this ace of apostles, this daring and dauntless disciple, this prince of preachers, this peerless prophet. They were gathered together primarily to observe the Lord's Supper, not to hear the Apostle Paul, as important as that might have been. Eutychus, a young man, had gone up 3 stories high, probably, to give some older folk better seating. Eutychus fell asleep and fell out the third story and was taken up dead, killed by the fall. Eutychus was sleeping in church. Since Thomas Edison had not yet invented the electric light, and they were using oil lamps, the fumes must have been too much. So we can't blame this young fellow for sleeping through the preaching of Paul. I heard of a woman one time who had trouble sleeping. They tried everything, counting sheep, sleeping pills, aspirins, nothing worked until someone said they had the answer. They took her over to the church house during the week when no one was around, set her on one of the back seats, and she dropped off to sleep right away. Paul went down and, falling on him, said, "Make you no ado, for his life is in him," and raised him up from the dead. Paul continued preaching until midnight, and I feel sure that Eutychus paid real good attention and stayed awake until Paul was finished. The principal thing about this Sunday evening service is the fact that the first century church had the custom of observing the Lord's Supper every Sunday, every first day of the week. Now here is the resurrection of our blessed Lord Jesus. That's the resurrection of Jesus. Paul sets the resurrection of Jesus apart from all other resurrections of the Bible. He refers to the resurrection of Jesus as the first fruits of them that sleep. All the other resurrections were temporary. Jesus is the first to be resurrected, never to die again. Go to the tomb at Nain and cry out, "Young man, where art thou?" And the grave would yield no answer, for he soon died again. Go to the cemetery at Capernaum and cry out to the daughter of Jairus, "Where art thou?" And the grave would yield no answer. Go to Bethany to the tomb of Lazarus and cry, "Lazarus, where art thou?" And the grave would yield no answer, for he died again. Go to Joppa and go to Troas again. The grave is silent. Now go to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and cry out, "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, where art thou?" And the answer would come from the right hand of the Father in heaven, "I am the first and the last, and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Jesus, because of his resurrection, has the key to unlock the spirit world. He has the key to unlock every casket. Mark tells us the angel that appeared at the tomb was a young man, not middle-aged or an old man. Even though this young man was thousands of years old, he didn't have a wrinkle on him. He had been present on that day when God created the earth, and the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. The resurrection of Jesus is a story of the Christian being young forever. I have heard of a land on that faraway strand, the beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, where we never shall die, in that land where we shall never grow old. Now the next resurrection is the first resurrection from the dead. That's the one that's mentioned in John 5:25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Ladies and gentlemen, that hour has already come. Jesus said, "Now is." It came to pass on the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached in its fullness the first time. Peter preached the facts of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and then told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Evidently the dead Jesus referred to were the spiritually dead, those who were dead in trespasses and sins, and when they obeyed the gospel, they were raised up to walk in newness of life. Paul would later say in Romans 6, "Know ye not that all who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in the newness of life." Ladies and gentlemen, I became a Christian when I was about 10 years old. I had read the book of Mark and learned that when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. On the night of that revival meeting that I accepted the Lord as my Savior, the building was crowded. And when they sang the invitation hymn, I pushed past the rest of my family and said, I'm going up there. No one told me to do it. It was my own decision. When they immersed me, I walked over to the steps to ascend out of the baptistry, and a tall man reached down and pulled me up out of that watery grave. The man who pulled me up was the local undertaker. Undertakers don't usually pull you out of the grave. They put you in the grave. This undertaker pulled me up out of the watery grave of baptism. I had been raised from the dead. Sooner or later, I will depart out of this world. Then another undertaker will put my body into the grave. And when he does, it won't mean a thing. My real burial took place when I was about 10 years old, raised up in my first resurrection. And now that brings us to the last resurrection of the New Testament, the final resurrection. Jesus himself said in John 5, Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh, in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. All will hear his voice and come forth, all at the same time. To some it will be to eternal life, and to others to eternal damnation. All includes everyone. On airplane rides, there are different classifications. You may travel first class, or second class, or business class. But if the engine conks out and the plane crashes, we are all in the same class, the dead class. All that are in the tombs shall hear the voice of Jesus and shall come forth, both saint and sinner. Remember, he said, there is no marvel that he will do this. No marvel when we note what Paul said on Mars Hill. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all the nations, in that he raised him from the dead. It's no marvel that Jesus can call the dead out of their graves, when we note that John reminds us in Revelation 20, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no room for them. These are the 9 resurrections from the dead in the New Testament. Someone has written these appropriate lines. When the great business plants of our city have turned out their last finished work, and the merchants have made their last order and dismissed every last tired clerk, when the banks have raked in their last dollar and declared their last dividend, and the judge of the earth says, close for the night, and asks for the balance, what then? When the TV has played its last drama, and the comic has made his last pun, when the movie has flashed its last picture, and the billboard has made its last run, when the people seeking pleasure have vanished and gone out in the darkness again, and the trumpet of ages has sounded, and we stand up before him, what then? And when the choir has sung its last anthem, and the preacher has prayed his last prayer, and the people have heard their last sermon, and the songs have died on the air. Oh, when the Bible lies closed on the pulpit, and the pews are all empty of men, and the trumpet of ages has sounded, and we stand up before him, what then? These are the 9 resurrections of the New Testament.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.